Apadeshu,
Apadeshu,
Swakrityeshu,
Swakrityeshu,
Balena,
Balena,
Apakva,
Apakva,
Buddhina,
Buddhina,
Papam,
Papam,
Kritam,
Kritam,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
Sarvatma,
Sarvatma,
Shantum,
Shantum,
Parvati,
Parvati,
Apadeshu, Swakrityeshu,
Apadeshu, Swakrityeshu,
Balena, Bhakva, Buddhina,
Balena, Bhakva, Buddhina,
Papam, Kritam, Tat, Bhagavan,
Papam, Kritam, Tat, Bhagavan,
Sarvatma, Shantum, Arhati,
Sarvatma, Shantum, Arhati,
Apadeshu,
Apadeshu,
unto one who is completely free,
unto one who is completely free,
from all sins.
Svavrityeshu,
unto one who is subordinate,
unto one who is subordinate,
and deserves to be protected.
And deserves to be protected.
Balena,
Balena,
by a child.
Apakva,
who is immature.
Who is immature.
Buddhina,
Buddhina,
by intelligence.
By intelligence.
Papam,
Papam,
sinful act.
Kritam
has been done.
Tat
Bhagavan,
therefore the personality of Godhead.
Sarva Atma, who is all pervading.
Shantam,
just to pardon.
Arhati,
deserve. Then the Rishi prayed to the all-pervading personality of Godhead, to pardon his immature boy, who had no intelligence and who had committed the great sin of cursing a person who was completely free from all sins, who was subordinate and who deserved to be protected. Everyone is responsible for his own action, either pious or sinful. Rishi Shami could foresee that his son had committed a great sin by cursing Maharaj Bhuchya, who deserved to be protected by the Brahmins, for he was a pious ruler and completely free from all sins because of his being a first-class devotee of the Lord. When an offense is done unto the devotee of the Lord, it is very difficult to overcome the reaction. The Brahmanas, being at the head of the social orders, are meant to give protection to their subordinates and not to curse them. There are occasions when a Brahman may furiously curse a subordinate Kshatriya or Vaishya, etc. But in the case of Maharaj Bhuchya, there were no grounds, as already explained. Foolish boy had done it out of sheer vanity in being a Brahmin's son, and thus he became liable to be punished by the law of God. The Lord never forgives a person who condemns his pure devotee. Therefore, by cursing a king, the foolish Sringi had committed not only a sin, but also the greatest offense. Therefore, the Rishi could foresee that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could save his boy from his sinful act. He therefore directly prayed for pardon from the Supreme Lord, who alone can undo a thing which is impossible to change. The appeal was made in the name of a foolish boy who had developed no intelligence at all. Apateshu subhrityeshu balena bhakva-buddhina apam kritam tad-bhagavan sarvatma kshantumarhati. The king was sinless on account of being a pure devotee of the Lord. Yesham Pantagatam Pata Janana Punyakarmana
Tejvan Bhamani Mukta Vajante Imam Bhutta Bhutta. When one is freed from all sins and his activities are all pious, then he can be freed from illusion and duality and engage in devotional service to Krishna. Or from another point of view, if one engages in the service of Krishna, aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshishami, then the Lord frees him from all sins. So from either point of view, the king was a papesh, a papa, sinless. Quite something for a king. Kings have the tendency toward sinful activities sometimes. But an actual king, Vedic king, dutiful king, should be free from sinful life. So this king, Parikshit Maharaj, had that qualification, sinless. And he was subordinate, in the sense that the Kshatriya order is subordinate to the Brahmana order. Therefore, Vritya, he's to be maintained. There's supposed to be cooperation between the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas, as much as in the body there should be cooperation between the head and the arms. The arms execute and the head gives intelligent direction. So both are needed. Although the head may be more important, the arms are required also for the protection of the head and the execution of necessary work. So, apapeshu, subritieshu. Then why did Trinity curse such a faultless king? Balina, apakvabhutina. Because he was childish, and because his intelligence was apakva. Apakva means immature, unripe. Just in our vernacular, we have pakka, ripe. And apakva, from the same source, unripe. Just like a green papaya or a green mango. So it's not ripe. You have to wait some time, then it becomes ripe. So the boy was a Brahmin, but an immature Brahmin. An uncultured Brahmin. Maturity requires culture. With maturity comes culture. It's not enough to know mantras, to know rituals, to have memorized some rules and regulations. One has to be mature in one's discretion also. This is culture. To know how to deal, to know how to act, to know what to do and not to do. That requires some experience. That requires some training. And that requires humility. Amanitva adampitva ahimsa chantinarjuna. In the list of the items of knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, the first item is amanitva, to be free from false pride. If one is falsely proud, then what is the state of his knowledge? The beginning of knowledge is not to be puffed up, to be humble. So, this son of a Brahmin, Tringi, was unqualified because he didn't have that attribute. He was arrogant. He was falsely proud. I am a Brahmin. He was making a show of being of righteous indignation. Who is this lower class person to be transgressing against the Brahmins? And he was showing off in front of his friends. I'll show you what I can do. Watch this. A little show off. So, in summary, he was an arrogant little twerp. The Bengalis will not be able to translate twerp. But that's what he was, an arrogant little twerp. Puffed up with false prestige and audacious enough to curse a faultless king. This is a symptom of Kali Yuga, that in Kali Yuga, audacity takes the place of knowledge. In previous ages, the Brahmins were known by their knowledge. Now a person is considered to be someone if he's audacious, if he's arrogant, if he's got a loud mouth, if he's a big-time critic, then he's someone. But according to the Vedic standard, such a person is uncultured, childish, immature. Apakva buddhina, his intelligence, is immature. And the result is papam kritam, that he does something sinful. This is the result of false pride. One becomes puffed up and commits sinful activities. And worst, one commits offenses against those who are faultless, and especially against the devotees of the Lord. Vaishnavaparad, an offense against a devotee of the Lord, is the worst offense. One can offend the Lord, and the Lord may forgive him. But if one offends the devotee of the Lord, it's very difficult to be forgiven. The Lord is intolerant of offenses to his devotees. A man may be able to tolerate the sun on his head, but it's very difficult to tolerate hot sand on his feet. So the Lord is very intolerant of offenses to the pure devotees who are situated at his lotus feet. Therefore, one should be extremely careful. By offending Vaishnavas, one can lose everything. And there are so many examples. Like Gopal Chapala, that Ramchandra Khan, Ramchandra Puri also. By committing Vaishnava parads, they lost their devotional standing. By chanting Hare Krishna, by following the regulative principles, one expands in devotional service so that one's devotional service becomes like the waxing moon, till finally, Shreya Kareva Chandrika, it becomes the full moon. But if one commits offenses to devotees, then it becomes the waning moon. Decreases, decreases, decreases. He can't think of Krishna. He loses his taste for devotional activities. He gains a taste for more offenses. He increases his offensiveness. And the Vaishnavas don't want to be with him anymore. The only people who want to be with him are those who take pleasure in hearing blasphemy of devotees. Finally, his devotional service becomes like a little sliver where it disappears. Therefore,
were warned repeatedly to be strictly careful about committing Vaishnava dharmas against any Vaishnava. Jeva, anyone who's engaged in the devotional service of Krishna is great. And if we offend the great persons who've dedicated their lives to the service of Krishna, then we can ruin our devotional career. After sacrificing so much, after lifetimes, finally one comes to devotional service, and then torpedoes one's progress by offending Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared this to the mad elephant. One plants, one gets the seed of devotional service by the grace of Guru and Krishna. One waters it by hearing and chanting. One fences it in very nicely by observing the positive and negative regulative principles. And then a mad elephant comes. And then nothing can protect your little plant of devotional service. Therefore, we should be most careful about Vaishnava dharmas. A question may be raised herein, that since it was the desire of the Lord that Parikshit Maharaj be put into that awkward position, so that he might be delivered from material existence, then why was a Brahmin's son made responsible for this offensive act? The answer is that the offensive act was performed by a child only, so that he could be excused very easily, and thus the prayer of the father was accepted. But if the question is raised, why the Brahmin community as a whole was made responsible for allowing Kali into the world affairs, the answer is given in the Varaha Purana, that the demons who had acted inimically toward the personality of Godhead, but were not killed by the Lord, were allowed to take birth in the families of Brahmanas to take advantage of the age of Kali. The all-merciful Lord gave them a chance to have their births in the families of pious Brahmanas so that they could progress toward salvation. But the demons, instead of utilizing a good opportunity, misused the Brahminical culture due to being puffed up by vanity in becoming Brahmins. The typical example is the son of Shamakrishi, and all the foolish sons of Brahmanas are warned hereby not to become as foolish as Sringi, and be always on guard against the demoniac qualities which they had in their previous births. The foolish boy was, of course, excused by the Lord. But others, who may not have a father like Shamakrishi, will be put into great difficulty if they misuse the advantages obtained by birth in a Brahmin family. All of these circumstances were arranged by the Lord for his pastimes, that the king would be cursed, that the boy would be forgiven. But Srila Prabhupada issues a warning here based upon the history of the Varaha Purana, that in Kali Yuga, so many men who in their previous lives were demons take birth in a Brahmin family. So, simply to be born a Brahmin is not the qualification. If one is so fortunate as to be born in such a good family, one should carefully guard the opportunity by cultivating Krishna consciousness and by avoiding offenses to great souls. Birth is one thing. By proper use of one's birth, one can make advancement, or one can overcome the disadvantages of the birth. It's not that birth is a guarantee.
just like those who were born as the children of devotees. It's not guaranteed that they'll be engaged in a life of pure devotional service. They should be protected and properly guided. But then finally, everyone is responsible for his own actions. If I misuse the opportunity of being born in a devotee family, then that's my misfortune. That's my misfortune. Having gotten such a great opportunity, if I use it for living like a cat or a dog, that's so unfortunate. And if I capitalize on the opportunity, it can become the source of the greatest good fortune. So the incident is very instructive. Even those who become devotees, those who become Brahmins, we should be careful not to be puffed up, not to be know-it-all critics of our superiors. In the Vaishnava etiquette, there's some consideration for seniority. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I can't tolerate anyone who doesn't respect the Vaishnava etiquette. So if we think that we're very knowledgeable, that we're the guardians of truth and justice and the straight path of devotional service, and that we can criticize everyone who's senior to us but stupid or deviant, we may find ourselves back in the ocean of material existence because of our lack of culture, because of our childish mentality, because of our arrogance. It may be that our seniors make mistakes, but by maturity one has to know the proper way of dealing with seniors, with juniors, with equals. These things are instructed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita. And the summary is that all Vaishnavas should be respected. Junior Vaishnavas, Vaishnavas on the same level, and senior Vaishnavas, we should give them all careful respect and not offend the devotees of the Lord. Rather, we should be merciful to those who are less advanced. We should be friendly to those on an equal level with us. And we should offer great respect and service to those who are more advanced than we are. Then we'll be able to make nice progress in the service of Krishna. Are there some questions? Loud up. Personality of Godhead excuse the offense, but usually if we offend a devotee, one has to go to him. Yes, that's explained in another purport, that Shamik Rishi would have gone to the king to apologize, but he was so mortified by the offense, there was no question approaching him, especially because it couldn't be undone. The curse couldn't be reversed. So he therefore simply approached the Lord to excuse the childish boy.
Maharaj.
It's to be noted, by the way, that the father didn't appreciate the actions of the foolish child. The foolish child thought that I'll teach this kshatriya, this dog of a kshatriya, I'll teach him a lesson for offending my father, such an exalted Brahmin. But the father actually was an exalted Brahmin. So he was not at all pleased by the foolish action of Sringi. A parallel is the action of Ashwatthama, another degraded son of a Brahmin, who thought that he'd please his master by beheading the sleeping sons of the Pandavas. But his master, Duryodhana, was not at all pleased. The result was that Ashwatthama just lost all of his credit, all of his rabbinical credit, practically his credit for being any sort of a decent human being. Yes? Another question?
Sometimes it may happen the other way around, that someone offends us or hurts our feelings in a relationship, devotional relationship. So should we always just tolerate that and consider the mercy of the Lord, or should we sometimes tell the person that actually by doing such and such thing you actually offended or hurt me? Or how should we...
Sometimes someone in superior position to us offends us. So should we simply tolerate, or should we say something? Is that the question?
Not necessarily superior. It could also be amongst devotees on the same...
On the same level. Yes. On the same level, we may reveal our minds to our friends. It shouldn't be, "Hey, you offended me. Who do you think you are?" But we may tell our friend that actually, "I'm sure you didn't mean to hurt me, but that thing that you said really got to me." We may sometimes, in friendly dealings, say such things.
What can be said to us that actually we don't really deserve?
What can be said to us that we don't really deserve? Well, depending on your analysis, from one point of view, whatever criticism I get is good for me. I'm only getting a fraction of what I deserve. If I've come to this material world, I must be a criminal. So any amount of criticism is good for me. On the other hand, from the point of view of objective facts, there are accusations that are simply untrue. It was Srivas Thakur that offense was made that all the paraphernalia for worshipping Devi was placed outside of his door to try to discredit him. So that was an offense because he was not worshipping Devi, he was worshipping Krishna. So something untrue was concocted to try to discredit him in the eyes of the Vaishnavas. So that was unworthy of the person who did it, and therefore that person suffered. It's not that Krishna said, "Well, you know, Srivas Thakur is in this material world, he probably deserved it." Srivas Thakur took it lightly. He just called all the Vaishnavas and said, "Hey, guess what? You know what I do when you're not looking? See, here's all the stuff, you can tell." So, the Vaishnavas could understand the situation. But the person who did it, he suffered. So we may not take it. And we got criticized more than we deserve. But a third party analyzing the situation may see that this was wrong.
Maharaj, you should have felt that desire to...
Yeah, you've got the microphone sitting over there.
That must be
Srila Prabhupada desired that his followers become independently thoughtful. And so we can understand that we don't shut our critical faculties down. Sometimes it's quite easy to see defects. But what I'm wondering is perhaps one way to protect ourselves from becoming offensive is the mentality with which we can see the faults and actually try to do something positive to rectify. I mean, isn't that kind of a helpful active?
Yeah. As you say, we don't shut down ourselves. We don't shut down our critical faculties. So the first implication of that is that we see when something is off the mark. This person is supposed to be a senior devotee, but he's taking the money from the deity box and buying cigarettes. So it's not that I've taken a contract to be an idiot and think,
he's a senior devotee, he must have been good.
I can understand that he's doing some nonsense. But now my critical faculties have to be further extended so that I know how properly to deal with that. It's not that the next thing is to get out the bullhorn and announce to the world, you know what this person is doing. One has to learn some culture and know how to deal with a senior person, let's say, or even a person on the same level who seems to be doing some mistake. Otherwise, it's my mistake. Now, he made a mistake. Now, why stop there? Let me make a mistake, too. By criticizing wrongly, by not knowing how to act. The bull of religion was so discriminating that he wouldn't say that such and such person or such and such person is responsible for my suffering. So one has to know what to do, how to act. There are cultured ways of dealing, discreet ways of dealing with the mistakes or even offenses committed by others. Now that's not to say that discreet means namby-pamby. Discreet means that we just sort of stroke the person and say that's all right and everything goes on and the sinful activities continue. There are responsible ways for dealing with mistakes. And we may not be satisfied until things are properly dealt with. But there are proper ways of action, and one should know it. Otherwise, one gets implicated by trying to correct one thing, one commits the next mistake. And especially, one should be careful with seniors, senior Vaishnavas, or advanced Vaishnavas. One becomes senior not just by age, not just by initiation, but by service also. One should be careful.
Your response brings to mind this pastime in the fourth canto, the chapter, King Paranjana becomes a woman. Paranjana becomes a woman, and then with the passing of, I guess I'd say, in that life, her husband, then she wails piteously, and then there's a whole discussion that Prabhupada launches into of the position of the follower of the great acharya, of the acharya when he leaves, that he should dedicate his life to putting the institution in order. So, just to see shortcomings and have to do something about it, I mean, Prabhupada put a high emphasis just with that pastime, on the importance of trying to.
But again, both things. When we see discrepancies, we have to respond to them to see that this is wrong. But if we respond to them wrongly, then we ourselves are the discrepancy.
yourselves have become a discrepancy. Because if there's some people, they think that it's very pious to publish literature criticizing all the senior devotees in ISKCON and distribute it freely to the public. They call it back to something or other. Back to something or other. I call it back to square one. Even if they were 100% right, which they're not, but even if they were 100% right in their criticisms, they don't know the cultured way for dealing with what we perceive to be a mistake. Therefore, they become the mistake. Apart from the fact that they're mistaken to begin with, they don't know how to deal. For vrittim cha, the vrittim cha, they don't know how to deal. And therefore, they're the mistake. If they were right, there was a mistake, and now there's a second mistake. And if there was a wrong, they're the only mistake. But either way, they're mistaken. Prabhupada never dealt that way. Yes?
I'm curious question. You answered how to deal with a friend if you feel he's offended you. How to deal with a senior if you feel there's some discrepancy.
How to deal with a senior? Take him. The example is given Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and was it Ramchandrapuri? Ramchandrapuri. This Ramchandrapuri was a godbrother of Isharapuri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master. And by offending his spiritual master, he developed all the qualifications of a first-class critic. And he used to criticize all the Vaishnavas. And not only that, he'd make some circumstance by which he could create something that he could criticize. So invite all the Vaishnavas for a nice feast, insist on feeding them sumptuously, and then criticize them for overeating. So he similarly criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu responded by saying, yes, he's right. I'm a sannyasi, I shouldn't be eating so much. And the words used in Chaitanya Charitamrita are Guru Bhutva. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted that way, considering Ramchandrapuri his guru. Why? Because he was the godbrother of his guru. So as the spiritual master is to be respected, the godbrothers of the spiritual master are also to be respected. They're also to be respected. There was one, of course we know that Srila Prabhupada used to be very strong sometimes in criticizing some of his godbrothers. So one time, Prabhupada's secretary asked Prabhupada in such a way as to, you know, sort of be on the same page, Prabhupada, how is it that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur could have disciples who were such rascals? Prabhupada was saying, don't ask him. But how could Prabhupada look at him and said, you have said the wrong thing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur never had any disciples who were rascals. He said, I can call them rascals, but you cannot.
in a civilized human society, like the Indian society, you can't criticize your uncle. You can criticize even your older brother. You have to be careful about treating respectfully. Even in the Muslim society, I've given this example that there was in Saudi Arabia, the founder is this Ibn Shaw, and he had so many sons. And one son, the oldest son, became the king, and then other sons became, you know, the finance minister, the defense minister, this minister, that minister. And the person who was the finance minister was the sharpest guy. He knew everything that was going on. He was quick. All the foreign diplomats, they always, when they arrived in Saudi Arabia, they'd head straight for his office to find out what was really going on and to, you know, have some interchange with him. And he would talk very freely with them. But in the presence of the king, that same brother wouldn't say anything. In the presence of his older brother, he just kept his the older brother might say the most foolish thing, he might say the most inappropriate thing, the younger brother would just keep his mouth shut. And that's culture. One has to follow it. Yes, you want to send that microphone on? Hold on a second, that microphone is going to reach you.
The proper kind of thing, if you, I remember when you were speaking that your prophet said that we shouldn't criticize a person.
Prophet said what?
We shouldn't criticize a person, but we could actually speak about philosophy.
Yes, that's there, even with, as a tactic, the demons have so many foolish things that they teach. Bogus gurus, bogus swamis. But now if you go to the follower of the bogus swami and say, your swami is bogus, he becomes offended. So Prabhupada's policy was that when the names of such popular persons were mentioned, rather than speaking directly against them, Prabhupada would say, so, what is his philosophy? And then upon hearing what the philosophy was, Prabhupada would smash it. Prabhupada said, there's a Bengali proverb, maybe some Bengali knows which one, how it goes, that if you kill a skunk with your hand gets a bad smell. You know what a skunk is? A skunk is that little... What? You know? Skunk?
Yeah, yeah.
Chuta mere hatkan. So if you kill a skunk with your hand gets a bad smell. So therefore Prabhupada said that for that reason we don't criticize them directly. We criticize their philosophy. Or Prabhupada said, rather than hit them with the hand, we kick them in with our boots. Some other question? Yes?
Our
daily life, you know, like
if you're in a society of the dustiness as we are, and then you see some improper conduct of things. So
we see what?
You see, like, for example, you know, there's so much stuff happening which is maybe not according to what Shri Prabhupada is saying.
There's so much happening that's not according to what Shri Prabhupada is saying.
How would you apply that in our daily life?
In practical dealings, the first thing is that we should consider the possibility that we may not be right. If there's a possibility that they're not right, there's also a possibility that we're not right. So that's the first thing, is to look into the thing, rather than charge ahead thinking, I know what's what. You know, what is the actual circumstance? What was actually done? Who did it? Why did they do it? Is there a proper reason? Then if I still think it's wrong, then again there are tactful ways of dealing with things. And there's, you know, there's also an increasing hierarchy of putting pressure on or of jumping up and down and screaming. There's ways to do it. But, you know, if we jump from, 1 to 100 in one go, that's not how things are done. You know, according to the thing, there are tactful and appropriate ways for dealing with things, such as to talk to the person. Guruji, what is this? Maybe you can give an insight. Maybe he'll change his point of view. Or maybe you know a friend of his who has his ear, and you can convince the friend, and the friend can convince him. There are different ways of dealing with this, other than just to, you know, stand in the middle of the street with a banner saying, you know, Krishnadas is an idiot. That's not usually the most productive or fruitful or recommended way of dealing with things. One way, Prabhupada said, is you do better then. There were some people who were criticizing the way that our devotees were, some devotees were criticizing the way that some other devotees were distributing books. They're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing this, they're doing that. Prabhupada said, okay, show them how to do it. You do better. You do it your way. But why should you criticize them? They're at least doing something. And it's very easy to be the person who does nothing but sit in the corner and find out what's wrong with everybody else. You know, we couldn't preach to save our life, but we could say what's wrong with everyone else's preaching. And we should be a little... So that's one response, is to say, well, okay. You know, I think it's out to lunch to do it this way. I'm going to do it the way that Prabhupada taught us to do it. Another question?
We still have time? Yeah, we still have time.
Yes?
Maraha Purana said that when the Lord didn't feed this demon, what incarnation stopped him in general?
Doesn't mention. It's not mentioned. The reference here to the Varaha Purana doesn't mention in which incarnation it was that Krishna left some demons aside and didn't kill them. We're just told that he did, which is enough to know that Krishna left them alone and they showed up in Kali Yuga and Brahman families. But we shouldn't be too proud, because it's not that demons appear only in Brahman families. There are a lot of other opportunities available. All right. Thank you all very much. All glories to Shiva.